Hamster Dance, a Mass Effect fanfic, written by Madam Badger, read by Black Glass. "This is going to sound ridiculous," Shepard warned Garrus. "And I'm sure it is ridiculous, which is why I'm asking you as a friend, not a commander." Garrus flexed his mandibles in a smile. "With all due respect, Shepard, spit it out." "I noticed that boo." She gestured to her hamster, contentedly chewing on food pellets in his little cage. "Was acting a little off, so when we were at the Citadel, I took him in to the vet there."
"Is he all right?"
"He's fine, or at least he will be. He got some kind of infection around his eyes. The vet thinks it's something I brought back with me from Rannoch. Nothing really harmful. But to clear it up, for 24 hours I have to give him eye drops and an oral antibiotic every 2 hours, and change his litter every 3 hours, And you can't exactly stop being Commander Shepard for 24 hours, Garrus said, and chuckled. Shepard smiled ruefully. "That's about the size of it. It's been 6 hours, and I've worked it out for that long. But I have to go meet with the Council, and I'll be gone for the next 6 at least. Would you mind?"
"Not at all. Just tell me what to do."
Shepard gave him a relieved smile and turned to open the cage. One button press slid back the lid, and she reached gently in and caught Boo before he could do his usual trick of squeaking and running for a hiding place. She cradled him between her hands, making odd little cooing and clucking noises. "I know it's not really entirely appropriate," she said, "having a pet on board, but..."
"I don't think anyone's going to blame you," Garrus said. "It's not as if you're not overcompensating by sacrificing hugely in other parts of your life."
Shepard gave him a grateful look. "Thanks," she said. "Now if you'll hand me the little bottle..." "No, the clear one." "That's it. Hand me that, and I'll show you how to do this. Drops first, then oral antibiotics." He watched as she deftly dripped a single eye drop in each of the hamster's shining black eyes. Boo flailed his tiny pink feet in a clear protest. "It's not hard. You just have to get kind of a firm grip. He doesn't really like stuff in his eyes. Can't blame him. So he squirms around."
"I don't want to hurt him."
Garrus flexed his long fingers with their clawed tips. "He's fragile, but he's not that fragile. Just wear gloves to blunt your claws, and keep a firm but gentle grip. Then the other bottle. The yellow one, yes. Then you just have to slip the syringe into his mouth and squirt. 0.5 cc's is all you need. And that's done." She dropped a kiss on Boo's aggrieved nose, and deposited him back in his cage, where he immediately ran for his little house. "That's every 2 hours. Then every 3 hours, just push the button here, and it'll cycle his litter."
"That seems straightforward enough," Garrus said carefully.
"It is. It's mostly just the frequency that's a problem. Anyway, the door is coded to let you in automatically, so you can come and go. Or just stay up here and work for my terminal if you want."
"Sure, Shepard."
"I really, really, really appreciate this." Garrus waved a hand.
"Don't mention it."
Garrus decided to stay in Shepard's quarters. He had nothing that pressingly required him to be physically in the main battery, and it seemed simplest. He caught up on his extranet messages, sent a note to his sister, ran some optimizing routines on his OmniTool software, kicked off the backup process for the Thanix system logs, and generally enjoyed a quiet 2 hours. Behind him, he could hear Boo rustling in his bedding. The fish tank provided a soft blue glow, through which tropical fish swam in lazy circles.
"I could get used to this," he thought.
At the 2-hour mark, his OmniTool chimed, reminding him to take care of the hamster. As soon as it went off, he got to his feet, pushed the green button, waited for the lid to slide back, and reached in to scoop up the hamster. Boo was light in his hands, so small that he almost vanished in the cage of Garrus's fingers. Drops first. Garrus picked up the clear eyedropper bottle and tilted the hamster so that he could apply the eyedrops. So far, so good. With the hamster still gently but firmly held, he reached for the antibiotics, measured out 0.5 cc's, and nudged the dropper into Boo's muzzle and gave it a squirt.
Boo's response was sudden and immediate. He flailed his limbs so suddenly and so violently that it felt to Garrus as if he'd grown 2 extra legs and at least 10 extra feet. Then, with a maneuver that Garrus could not reconstruct even afterward, he seemed to levitate straight up, flip over, and flop wholly out of Garrus's grasp and onto the floor. Garrus swore and began to lunge after him, and then just as abruptly stopped as the scene flashed across his imagination. "So, Shepard, you know that little animal that you dote on unreasonably? That is one of your painfully few escapes from the realities of leading a horrifying and possibly unwinnable interstellar war?"
"Yeah, I stepped on him and squashed him flat."
He proceeded more carefully. Boo had fled 0.5 meter, and was currently crouched under Shepard's desk, with a surprisingly wary look from something that was basically a fuzzy ball with feet. Garrus hunkered down, moving slow, and extended his hands.
"Hey, little guy," he said. "Hey, hey, come here."
Boo hesitated, nose twitching as he sniffed the air. With the same exquisite care he used on his rifles, Garrus extended his hands 1 millimeter at a time.
"Closer and closer. Closer and..."
"Gotcha," he said, closing his fingers. Around thin air, as once again the hamster made a physically improbable vertical leap, and then bounced like a hyperactive rubber ball into the back recesses of the desk. Garrus sat back, staring into the dark. His visor wasn't really designed for Earth biometrics, and especially not small and useless domestic mammals, but he could make out a shimmer of life sign readings, and a pair of gleaming black eyes that seemed to be mocking him. Tally was testing out a self-optimization algorithm on the Normandy's drive core simulator when she got the buzz from Garrus. On her personal comm this time, rather than over the ship communicators. She didn't think much of it, though, as she keyed in and said,
"Garrus, hello."
"Tally," he said, "I need your help. It's kind of urgent."
Tally immediately shut down the simulator, back straightening up, and one hand falling by habit to the stock of her shotgun.
"What's going on?"
There was a taut pause, and then Garrus gave a self-deprecating chuckle.
"No, not urgent like we mean urgent. Not Reaper's urgent. Urgent like urgent in a normal universe."
She relaxed a little, letting her hand settle back on the console.
"Spill, Garrus," she said, smiling. "So Shepard asked me to give some medication to her hamster when she was off ship, and I kind of, well... lost it? Him."
"You lost Shepard's hamster?"
"Well, I didn't lose him very far," Garrus said, with that wounded Garrus voice that made Tally's smile widen. "The loft's sealed, so he's got to be in here somewhere. I could just use some help, finding him."
Tally muted her helmet output in order to have a good, thorough laugh without Garrus knowing. Nonetheless,
"You're laughing at me," Garrus accused.
"You know me entirely too well," she said. "And yes, of course I'll come help."
"Thank you,"
Garrus said, his voice breathless with gratitude.
"Now I'm going to go back to tiptoeing around to make sure I don't step on him."
"I think he's under the bed," Garrus said, when the doors hissed open to admit Tally. "I'm pretty sure he's under the bed, actually. But I'm afraid to flip it up because I don't want to..."
"Squish him,"
Tally finished, and Garrus was fairly sure she was laughing again, behind the smoky dusk of her mask. "Right. And I can't crawl under the bed because of this." He tapped his cowl with a fingertip. "So..." Tally looked at him, looked at the bed, and sighed.
"You owe me one, Vicarion," she said,
although so lightly he knew she wasn't serious.
"Not least because I know that 10 years from now, when we're all writing our memoirs, you're going to tell the entire galaxy about the time you got me to crawl around under Shepard's bed."
But she got down onto her hands and knees, and managed a respectable marine crawl, until all he could see was her feet.
"Can you see anything?"
"My helmet's got the built-in thermal imager, so I can make him out pretty easily. Standard issue. And a lot of biometrics, too. I can tell everyone's heartbeat if I feel like it."
That's a little creepy, Tally.
Well, don't tell me that your visor doesn't do the same thing.
That's not standard issue, though. I had to hack it in.
I don't see how that makes it better. Ah!
There was a brief scrabbling, a thump, and then Tally said,
Got him.
Within moments she had reemerged, Boo clasped between her hands. Garrus breathed a deep sigh of relief as Tally rolled up to her feet, still holding Boo carefully between her two hands.
Thanks, he said.
You're right. I really do owe you one.
He's sort of cute, you know,
Tally said.
I've never seen him so close. I always just sort of thought of him as a vague scuttling noise in the corner of Shepherd's office. Oh, he has a wiggly little nose.
Garrus was not about to note that he'd found Boo's pink feet quite charming. Instead, he said, As long as he's not hiding under the furniture, he can be as cute as he wants.
We can't have any pets on the flotilla, Tally said,
lifting Boo closer to her mast to study him.
No space and no resources. Did you ever?
Yeah. Solana and I had a Carinus. They're about so big. He held his hands half a meter apart. And have a thulium-permeated exoskeleton. So if they get stressed, they just roll up into a metal ball. So they're a little bit less worryingly squishy than hamsters. Tally said.
Oh, look at those little ears. Hey, little guy,
she said, detaching one hand to stroke between Boo's ears.
Watch it,
Garrus said with sudden alarm. Too late, as Boo managed another feat of levitation, out of Tally's hands, onto the floor, and under the bed.
I tried to warn you,
Garrus said, but his shoulders were shaking, his eyes dancing.
When I'm laughing at you,
Tally grumbled,
at least I can hide it.
Yeah, but I always know anyway, Garrus said.
Well,
Tally said, and couldn't think of a counter-argument.
True. But let me just say that if someone had told me that one of my duties as an admiral of the fleet would be to crawl around under someone's bed looking for a small animal, I would not have believed them.
I tried to warn you,
Garrus repeated, and now he was laughing outright. Tally laughed, sighed, and got back down to crawl under the bed. It was true that she could fit where Garrus could not even remotely fit, but it was still a tight squeeze, and she had to more wriggle than crawl to get her torso under the bed. Her visor immediately detected the low-light levels and switched to other inputs, and the hamster snapped into glowing relief on her thermal scanners.
"Come here, you little bush tit,"
she said, and she could hear Garrus laughing again. With the same care she would have used when repairing a fried circuit, she reached out, and Boo scrambled out from under the bed. She swore, and managed a fast squirm crawl at herself, in time to see Boo racing up the steps, with Garrus in hot pursuit. She followed, watching for the opportunity to use a pincher movement to trap the little animal. Boo leapt up on the chair. Garrus lunged for him, and missed by a split second, as Boo leapt up on the desk. Garrus lunged.
Watch it!
Tally said, and crashed the edge of his cowl into the rack holding all of Shepherd's model ships. One of the brackets holding the models gave way. The whole set tilted precariously. Tally leapt to try to brace it, but not fast enough. The second bracket popped loose, and the entirety of Shepherd's model ship collection slid to the floor. Garrus looked at Tally. Tally looked at the ships, and then at Garrus. Garrus looked at the ships. Tally looked at Garrus, at the ships, at Garrus, and then sat down on the stairs and began to laugh. It's not really funny, Garrus said. Tally laughed harder. Garrus gave in, sat down in Shepherd's chair, and began to laugh himself. Boo, seated calmly on Shepherd's terminal, began to wash his face with his paws.
So we should probably do something about this.
Right. I've got some epoxy in the engineering stores.
By the time Tally returned with the epoxy, wire cutters, trimming blades, sanding paper, miniature clamps, protective sheets, and a plastoid patching kit, Garrus had caught Boo, dosed him with his medications, and returned him to his cage, where he was placidly eating his food pellets. A quick inventory revealed that most of the model ships were undamaged, or mostly undamaged, during the short fall, and could simply be polished up and hung back up on their support rods. "Can you remember whether the Geth fighter was above or below the live ship?"
"Don't even start with me, Vicarion."
"Heh. Seriously, though."
"No, I don't. It's a shame Thane isn't here. He'd remember right away."
"Yeah." The few that had sustained damages needed more work, and Tally and Garrus spread protective sheets over the desk, and sat down to make the repairs. They worked in companionable silence for a few minutes before Tally said,
"I think you have that on upside down."
Garrus frowned at the ship, adjusting the piece he'd been about to glue down.
"You mean it goes here?" "Pretty sure."
"Who puts an airlock there?"
"Einar,"
Tally said serenely, applying a line of glue and carefully pressing a wing back on a frigate. "How do you know where the airlocks go on Hadar ships?"
"Nobody else wants to buy them, so they're cheap. So the flotilla has a lot of them."
Tally snapped on a clamp to hold the wing in place.
"Do you have any idea how much of a pain it is to retrofit the Hadar ship for bipeds?"
"I am very happy to say that I do not," Garrus said.
"Garrus?"
"Yes?"
"I think I glued my arm to the desk."
Garrus stared at her over the top of the model Shadow Broker base he was repairing.
"You did what now?" "You heard me the first time," Tally said, sounding frazzled. "Look, there's a lot of glue and not a lot of room. Mistakes happen."
"Uh-huh."
"Anyway,"
she tugged at her arm, which remained firmly stuck.
"Solvents aren't a good idea. They interfere with the nano-electronics. I'll have to cut it free. My suit, I mean, not my arm."
Garrus's voice grew alarmed. "You can't do that. It's definitely not clean in here. Especially not with epoxy, and the hamster, and—"
"It's just the cloth bit that's stuck. It won't damage my suit's integrity. Here, hand me the shears."
"I cannot believe that this is my life," Garrus said, as he handed over the shears. Tally jerked her arm up to pull the cloth taut, and began to carefully cut around the stuck patch of purple fabric.
"That makes two of us."
Tally had to stand on the desk to slot the last ship into place. She hopped back down and folded her arms in an attitude of satisfaction with herself.
"Do you think she's going to notice?"
Garrus said. "I'm guessing yes." Tally glanced at him and started to laugh. And this time, there wasn't much pause before he joined in.
"I guess that's that," Tally said finally,
when they had mastered themselves. She was heading for the door. Garrus stopped her with a hand on her elbow.
"Thanks," he said. "I'm fairly sure I made things worse," she said, amused. "So I'm not sure why you're thanking me."
"No, I mean, just thank you." Tally's eyes softened behind her mask.
"Shepard does so much, and the hamsters and the ships. It's such a little thing. She should be able to have small things like that. Normal things. Without having to worry about them."
"Yeah, that's why I... well, yeah."
"So if I can help with that, it's important to me too, Garrus."
She tipped her head.
"Thanks for thinking to call me."
"Sure," he said. "Like you said, she doesn't have much personal stuff besides the hamster and the ships and..." Both of their gazes drifted to the huge glowing blue bank of the fish tanks. "I'm sure the fish are fine."
"Yes, let's not go there."
When Shepard returned, Garrus was sitting in her desk chair, tinkering with his Omni-tool. He snapped it off and got to his feet as the door closed behind her.
"Shepard?"
"Sorry I'm late." She crossed to Boo's cage. Boo was sitting up amidst fresh litter, nibbling a sunflower seed held between his delicate paws. Little guy didn't give you any trouble, did he?
Nah, nothing more than I could handle.
Shepherd leaned her hand on the desk. I really do appreciate it. It means a lot to me that I... She paused, rubbing her fingertips over the desktop. Can rely on... Hang on. Garrus was looking at her, all blue-eyed innocence. Entirely too innocent. She kept scratching at the whatever it was stuck to her desk until she peeled it up. There was a moment of quiet. Garrus, she said, this may be a stupid question, but why is there a piece of tally suit glued to my desk? The scrap of fabric between her fingers was small, but the swirling purple and white patterns were unmistakable. She could see Garrus's subtle wince. Damn, I thought we got it all. Or do I not want to know? So it's kind of a long story. Shepherd took pity. Should I invite Tally up to help you explain? That might be a good idea. The explanation took 20 minutes. It would have been faster, except for Tally's propensity to act bits of it out, a tendency that Shepherd didn't discourage in the slightest. Tally's rendition of Garrus running upstairs after a hamster had Shepherd howling with laughter, and Garrus loudly insisting that he did not run like that. It was also worth the price of admission to see Garrus, Archangel of Omega, Killer of Reapers, he who was saluted by generals, shuffling his feet and looking abashed as they described the process of attempting to remove glued-on Quarian suit covering from a desk.
"I'm really sorry about the ships," Tally said. "I know you worked hard on them, and—"
"No, it's fine. It's sweet that you fixed them, actually."
"Well, it was sort of our fault." "My fault," Garrus said. "Hey, if I hadn't dropped Boo the second time, it wouldn't have happened," Tally pointed out.
"Anyway, I definitely owe you both dinner," Shepherd said, getting to her feet.
"We're the ones who almost lost your hamster, and then almost broke all your models," Tally protested. "I think the owing goes the other way."
"The key word is almost," Shepherd said. "But all right. How about I buy dinner, you two buy drinks, and we call it even?"
"Sounds like a plan," Garrus said, and Tally smiled.
End of story. Thanks for listening.